کارآفرینان.
ارائه ای از رادیو ایران 670 AM KIRN.
کارآفرینان.
سلام دوستان، به برنامه کارآفرینان خوش آمدید. برنامه تقدیمی رادیو ایران به شما شنوندگان خوب، برنامه غیر تبلیغاتی برای بالا بردن سطح آگاهی های شما و آشنا شدن با شخصیت هایی که در بیزینس موفق بودند و استفاده از تجربه های اونها. امروز میهمان ما آقای تاد جانسون هستند، رئیس و مدیر عامل اتاق بازرگانی بیولی هیلز. تاد در پنسیلوانیا بزرگ شده و در دانشگاه سلیپری راک تحصیل کرده، دارای لیسانس مدیریت تجاری و لیسانس مدیریت امور مالی است. ایشون سال 1986 به کالیفرنیا اومدن تا به رویای خودشون که بازی فوتبال به صورت حرفه‌ای بود جامعه عمل بپوشونن، که البته چنین اتفاقی نیفتاد و سرنوشت ایشون رو به سوی دیگری راه کاملا متفاوتی کشوند که به بیزینس رستوران بود. بعد از کسب 10 سال تجربه مدیریت رستوران، ایشون جنرال منیجر رستوران لریز د پرایم ریب در بیولی هیلز شدند و تا سال 2011 به این کار مشغول بودند. مدتی بعد ایشون با استفاده از 25 سال تجربه‌ای که در راه اداره رستوران به دست آورده بودن، تونستن کمک‌های بزرگی به این رستوران بکنن و باعث پیشرفت بیشتر اون بشن و اداره 3 شعبه از 4 شعبه رستوران رو به عهده بگیرن. آقای تاد جانسون همزمان با اتاق بازرگانی بیولی هیلز هم همکاری داشتن و سال 2003 به عضویت بورد این نهاد در اومدن. سال 2010 ایشون رئیس اتاق بازرگانی بیولی هیلز بودند. تا سال 2015 ایشون یا به عنوان مدیر بخش مالی یا رئیس کمیته رستورانداران خدمت میکردن، تا اینکه در این سال از ایشون خواسته شد به عنوان پرزیدنت و CEO اتاق بازرگانی بیولی هیلز با اون همکاری کنن که بزرگترین اتاق بازرگانی در لس آنجلس دوستان، با بیش از 820 عضو و با بودجه نزدیک به 1.5 میلیون دلار. تاد جانسون در ضمن یک مربی رسمی آموزش اسکیه و چند سال به این کار مشغول بوده. تجربه غواصی دارند ایشون، در ورزش جودو دارای کمربند سیاه هستند، کار کردن با بچه ها در زمینه ورزشی رو خیلی دوست دارند، سالها در روتاری کلاب فعال بودند و رئیس بورد LA کیچن و عضو بورد LEO پراجکت هستند که 2 بنیاد غیر انتفاعیه که در راه بهینه‌سازی لس آنجلس بزرگ فعالیت می‌کنند. مستر تاد جانسون، ویلکام اند وی آر سو هپی تو هاف یو این آور شو.
ایتس ان آنر تو بی هیر.
ثانک یو وری مچ. ثانک یو سو مچ فور کامینگ. کود یو تل اس ا لیتل بیت اباوت یور بک‌گراوند؟ هاو دید یو استارت اند یو آی جاست منشنت دت You lived in Pennsylvania, most of your life.
My
right?
first part of my first half of my life, yes.
Yeah, and then what happened?
Well, I went to, as I heard you say, the school Slippery Rock.
Yeah,
I went to school, and I really wanted to be a chef, but my father talked me out of it because he was.
Oh, so you wanted to be a chef?
I just had an interest in cooking.
Uh huh.
And this was when cooking was not as famous or glamorous as it is now. I mean, it's the industry has changed completely.
Maybe especially for men.
Oh, absolutely.
Those days.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Not that you're old, but I mean.
No, I'm older, so I'm experienced. So, but no. So he was smart in doing that. So I got a degree in finance and management, and because that was in all business management and certainly numbers and finance, but I still ended up getting into the restaurant business. And I was passionate about helping people and just, serving people actually. And being, not subservient, but being a servant of people was something that came natural to me. And I think I was just raised that way. So, and I was good at making sure the staff related that same feeling to our guests, because my goal in the restaurant world, and even what I do now was very simple. I made sure people left feeling better than when they came in.
Uh-huh.
And if they do, then they're going to talk about you and they're going to want to come back.
So besides wanting to be a professional football player, you like to be a chef also.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I had an interest in, I guess, grilling actually more than anything, and grilling meats and things. But yeah, mm-hmm. The football was, it was fortunate to go as far as it did, but it wasn't realistic to go to the pro level. And uh-huh. physically, I'm probably better off for it. So, but food is something that people need every day. So right. it's a question of where they're going to get it, whether it be a grocery store or go out to eat with family and friends. And so it was an industry that I always felt was going to, it's always going to be around, has been around since mm-hmm. the day we became alive. So
you looked for a job in restaurants at the beginning?
Is well, actually, I got a bouncer job at a restaurant called Houlihan's
uh-huh.
years ago. And I was only in that position for about 2 weeks. And then they asked if I wanted to bartend.
Okay.
So I started bartending and did that for about a year and a half. And
it's a hard job.
It's a hard job. No? You're dealing with
you need a lot of information.
Well,
you
have to remember, and if you couldn't remember names, I always tried to remember people's drinks, what they uh-huh, were. So, but then you would drink. I mean, you would realize that guys are not the smartest when they drink.
Yeah.
And it was always an interesting element to me. And so, I mean, I was 22 years old, making a lot of money and
yeah.
having a ton of fun in California. But then I got into management and, the rest was history after that. I jumped around to three or four different companies before I got to Lowry's
uh-huh.
and spent, as I said, almost 20 years with them, which was, they're an icon of the city. They have been in the, they've been in Beverly Hills 81 years. They were yeah. one of the original restaurants on La Cienega, which was.
Still they are.
Still there.
How many branches do they have?
They have five prime ribs in the, four prime ribs in the U.S., four other types of restaurants in the U.S. And then they also have, I think, six or seven international Lowry's mm-hmm. that are franchised.
So what's the, before we go to Chamber of Commerce
sure.
and these things, what's the most important thing in having restaurant? What should you do to be successful? A lot of things.
there's so many things, but I think it starts with passion and really wanting to be and to deliver service and
service.
To deliver elegance and quality of food and serving people. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're a general manager or a president of a company,
mm-hmm.
you still need to have that mentality of what is it you need? What can I do to make it better?
I always ask myself, this restaurant, how do they know how much meat they need today to be defrosted right. or delivered? And if they don't use it, what's going to happen to that? How do they take care of these things to be always fresh and, you know, mm-hmm. taste good?
Well, you learn it. It's pars. You know, you're coming up with pars and you get pretty good at estimating how many people you're going to serve. And mm-hmm. therefore you can, in the case of Lowry's, the prime rib that was left over was never much. It was only a couple ribs left over, and that would always used for well done meat the next day because
uh-huh.
there's some people want meat well done. Most of the people come in the restaurant and want it medium or medium rare, but nothing went to waste. In restaurants, the expense and the cost of goods and just staying open, restaurants have to get or are getting extremely creative on how they maintain their food and not have waste, and how do they reuse it and make it fresh and not, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a tough business.
And the staff, they are allowed to eat there usually?
Yes.
In
yeah. Yeah. I think
they eat there.
Yes. They either get we served a, you know, family meal, but, there's also some restaurants that'll let the staff buy, you know, half price menu items or have a staff meal. So, yeah, absolutely. The good mm-hmm. restaurants do that.
How much money do you think someone has to have to start a restaurant business today?
Oh, I think you depend. Huh? Yeah, I mean, I multiple millions probably, and it's well, you know.
You're talking about Beverly Hills, or
no? I if because you open a restaurant, you have to be ready to pay all the operational costs probably for a year before you're making anything.
Uh-huh.
Statistically, 89% of restaurants that open close within 12 months. And it goes up to 93% in 5 years. So yeah. 7 out of 10, oh, I'm sorry, 93%. So 7/10. Mm. Oh, 100 restaurants, 7 of them will make it.
You know, close to my house, there's a place that in last, I would say like 5-6 years, every year one restaurant comes, yeah. opens, and I'm sure they spend a lot of money for decoration, this, that. And after 1 year, I feel so sad. They leave and another restaurant comes. And sometimes I want to go tell them, don't open here, mate. It looks like it doesn't work in this area.
Well, you know, and actually a location can get a reputation. So unless you have a really big name that comes in and takes over a location that's been, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times a restaurant, it's pretty tough to make it work.
I mean, yeah.
It's, you know, the average owner of a restaurant puts in his pocket at the end of it maybe a nickel. For every dollar that comes in, and then he's taxed on that. So it's yeah. it's a very top challenging business. Industry.
And why did you decide to come? You're out of that business now.
Yeah,
you decided to come out because.
Well, at the time,
of the Chamber of Commerce, or you?
Yeah, it was a little better quality of life and a little more control over my my work and my time. I was flying
less headaches.
I was flying around the country to different restaurants at the time, so it made it a lot easier to stay put. And it was a decision. And it was also serving people in the sense we serve our businesses. And I know the city of Beverly Hills, and I'm fortunate to work there and know a lot. And it's a small city. It's 35,000 people. And so everyone knows everyone, or everyone knows someone who knows you.
Right. And how did you get involved in Chamber of Commerce at the beginning?
Well, when I was general manager at Lowry's, the owner was very big on us being involved in the community and giving back. So I had gotten involved with the chamber back in 2004, I think. And then became chairman of the board back in 2009, 2010. And which I was saying to you earlier, it was the same time, I think, as Jimmy Delshad, who was the first mayor in the country that's Iranian and an amazing man, just a very good
all
guy.
All of our listeners, they know Mr. Jimmy Delshad.
I'm sure they do.
The first Iranian mayor in USA and in Beverly Hills.
And he really did a good job. He was there for he had 2 terms and 8 years, and he and his wife are still running around doing things for others. So they're... I was fortunate to be able to work with him during my year, but fast forward, when I had it, my year, I ended up having to terminate the guy that was the president and hire a new person, and we did. 4 years later go by, he gives notice, and I was ready to do a search again, but a couple of my board members said, well, you know, maybe you should do this, and I didn't really think of it, and I didn't know anything about nonprofit. I knew for profit, but and within a week, the board had voted me on, and that was just under 5 years ago, 4.5 years ago.
For those unfamiliar, what is a Chamber of Commerce?
Yeah, it's a little bit of an unknown. I think people think of it as an old, crusty, old guy sitting around a table talking, and it's really not. There are 13 chambers just in the western side of Los Angeles, from Los Angeles to the ocean. There's 13 chambers, because I was president of that organization for a couple years, and we're each trying to help the cities that we're in. And because we're in Beverly Hills, our chamber's goal is really to be the that one-stop shop where someone can go to that has a question on needing help with a permit or needing to speak with one of the council members or needing to meet a broker to find out where they should go in the city, to understand some trends, and we can get facts and figures from the city. We have a real close partnership with our city and are proud of that. And our goal is to really make business successful. Because if they're successful, everyone wins, the city, the residents, and the businesses themselves.
And does all the businesses that they want to start, they come to Chamber of Commerce or no?
Well, some do. I met
with
them.
They don't have to.
It's no, like, by no means. And and definitely, I tell, there's some businesses I said, we're probably not the right company for you, or we're not the right organization,
right?
Because of what your expectations are and what we're able to deliver are not same. And it does us no good to have you join for a year and then quit saying, geez, I didn't get anything out of this, because I don't want that. So we're pretty clear on what it is we're able to deliver. What makes us different is our brand. You know, the name Beverly Hills is equated with luxury throughout the world and probably known in almost every country, when they've heard of the city, the name anyway, and it's experiential in Beverly Hills, and it's a walkable city, which in most of our cities in Southern California, we don't walk, and which is why our freeways are the way they are. Our city is capable; you can walk just about every corner of it. It's only 5 square miles, so it's really not that large.
So these are some of the unique things about the Beverly Hills Chamber of Commerce.
What we also do is we do over 200 events a year, and we do everything from three or four years ago, there was a program the city introduced called BOLD, which is businesses open later days, and Beverly Hills had this reputation of closing its streets up at 6 or 7 o'clock at night. We have a lot of international travelers that come and visit in our hotels, our luxury hotels, and they go out to lunch at 5 o'clock at night, you know, and then you're going out to dinner at 10 o'clock and they want to shop. So we put this, the mayor, Lily Bossy, really was the one that headed it, but the council really put time and effort and money into this, and it's the fourth year of it, and it's gotten much traction where we do a summer BOLD program where we're open later days and we have all types of entertainment down on the streets and luxury, driving a Rolls Royce around, nothing that you can go do just in any city. And then also during the holidays, obviously we have it is one of the most beautiful cities decorated. It really is beautiful right now. And we have hundreds of thousands of people that come, millions of people that come every year, over 6 million people come to Beverly Hills. So we're proud of that. And our organization really helps represent and get that word out through that program.
Where is your office located?
We are right on Little Santa Monica and Cannon. So we're actually right across kitty corner from the Wallace, the theater, and just a half a block away from the.
So you're close to the Beverly Hills sign that everybody comes and
takes. Right across the street. I can see it from my rooftop. Yeah, it's very close.
Very nice. دوستان با آقای تاد جانسون صحبت میکنیم، رئیس و مدیر عامل اتاق بازرگانی بیولی هیلز. کمی آشنا میشیم با خودشون، آشنا شدیم همونطور که من ابتدا توضیح دادم، در پنسیلوانیا ایام کودکی رو گذروندن، بعدن به کالیفرنیا آمدن، در کار رستورانداری بودند و بعد از اون هم در اتاق بازرگانی بیولی هیلز مشغول به همکاری شدند و انقدر این همکاری خوب بود و هی پیش رفتند که الان ریاست این اتاق بازرگانی بیولی هیلز رو عهده‌دار هستند. برمیگردیم با ایشون در مورد این اتاق بازرگانی و فعالیت‌هاش بیشتر صحبت می‌کنیم.
کارآفرینان
ارائه از رادیو ایران 670 AM KIRN
کارآفرینان.
دوستان، شنونده برنامه کارآفرینان هستید، برنامه غیر تبلیغاتی تقدیمی رادیو ایران. به شما شنوندگان عزیز در این برنامه با شخصیت‌های مختلف بیشتر آشنا میشیم و با کارشون. مهمان امروز ما آقای تاد جانسون هستن، رئیس و مدیر عامل اتاق بازرگانی بیولی هیلز. در مورد گذشته‌شون با شما صحبت کردن، اینکه کارشون رو از رستوران آغاز کردن در کالیفرنیا و بعد رستوران‌های بیشتری رو اداره کردن با قابلیت‌هایی که داشتن و بعد با اتاق بازرگانی بیولی هیلز آشنا شدند، اونجا فعال شدند و فعالیت‌های زیادی داشتند و از اونجا پیشرفت کردند تا به مقام ریاست و مدیریت اتاق بازرگانی بیولی هیلز رسیدند. و حالا با ایشون در مورد این اتاق بازرگانی صحبت می‌کنیم که ببینیم به طور کلی کارش چی هست و ما هم شاید چطور می‌تونیم استفاده کنیم از مزایا یا سرویس ها یا خدماتی که ارائه میشه، چطور میتونه به نفع ما باشه اگر که با این اتاق بازرگانی همکاری داشته باشیم. Mr. Johnson, what are some of the projects the chamber partners with the city of Beverly Hills on?
Yeah, we offer a free consulting to any business, whether they're a business that's a member of the chamber or not. So anyone that's in the city of Beverly Hills can take advantage of this. And we,
oh, that's nice.
We have a partnership with
a
company.
In what area do you
they actually can do just about any.
Any question?
It's a school, the El Segundo College, and a couple of the professors there that are answering these questions for people that have their own businesses, and they don't have the luxury or the headache of a corporate headquarters coming in and finding out what they're doing, but otherwise, they're looking in the mirror, and that's who the boss is. So this is a really good program that business can take advantage of. It doesn't cost them anything. And just to get some advice of what if they're doing is the right thing or what they should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a program where we put together a small business task force, and it's in partnership with the city, and it's actually the city that has asked us to put this in place. And we have small business leaders, again, both that are members and non-members of the chamber, that have sat on this committee for the first 6 months and have really vetted through what's easy about working in Beverly Hills, but more important, what's not so easy and what can we make easier? What can we be more business friendly? Because there's a lot of competition around us. We've for years have been able to say, well, we're Beverly Hills. But, you know, Century City and West Hollywood and Santa Monica and Orange County, I mean, there's luxury all around us. And so we need to stay a step ahead. So we actually, the council just voted 2 nights ago an emergency ordinance changing the parking requirements for restaurants. So if a new restaurant wants to come into our city, we're now equal or maybe even a little better than some of the city, surrounding cities, of the requirements. And it was just before prohibitive. And
they had to have their parking.
Well, it was the cost per stall that was requirements. And we've lowered the requirements for both new businesses that were in talks of coming to our city, but also businesses that are existing there now. They're going to be able to get a break on this. And I think I applaud the city for doing this, because it's really something that's business friendly, and that's good for everyone. I think it's a really good thing that the city did that. It was a huge step. That it was an ordinance that's been around for 25 years.
So the public parking solves the problem of the parking that the restaurants don't have by there.
Well, yeah. Well, it's not the pub. We actually, as a city, we have quite a bit of public parking.
Right.
The city owns a fair amount of parking structures, and they're 2 hour free, which is hardly any other city in the country. Well, yes. I'm sorry, in Southern California, that have that. That said, the requirements per square footage. So depending on how big your restaurant is, you're going to have X amount of parking spaces because you're X amount of feet.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. Some restaurants come into our city.
I see. So can I say that, is that right to say that Chamber of Commerce is like business owner's voice in city?
That's pretty good. Yes, it is. We want to be the voice of our business community, mm-hmm. that want to get our voice heard, both on local issues, city issues, county issues, state issues, and national issues. Our organization has a PAC, a Political Action Committee, which is a separate entity of the chamber, but it's under the umbrella of the chamber, and it takes up different types of political issues. And we have an election that's coming up in March in our city where we have two council seats that are open, and there's two incumbents that are rerunning. And then Dr. Julian Gold and then Councilmember Lily Bossi, who both have been two-term mayors and have done an amazing job. And then there's three other candidates that are running for these. So there's five total running for these two positions. And the Beverly Hills, we will interview them and we'll put an endorsement on two of those candidates.
Great. What does the chamber do for business attraction and
what
retention?
We do? Yeah, that's a good question. We have some amazing, very high-end businesses in our city.
Mm-hmm.
Cartier and LVMH and Rodeo Drive.
Right.
And we go to New York City and San Francisco with the city, with city leadership, and we meet with businesses that already are in Beverly Hills just to say, how are things going? What can we do to help? Because there's some major remodels of these luxury brands that are going to take place. And what can we do to be a go-between the city and the business to make that go well, getting permits and pulling all these mm-hmm. Different information necessary needed. But we also go and we look for businesses that are unique and different that we think that either should be in Beverly Hills or have contacted us and said, we want to come there. So we're meeting with these every year in the fall in New York and in spring in San Francisco. And both of these cities' expenses aren't so coming to Southern California is not shocking to them. In fact, it's in many cases, it's less money than what they're experiencing in, you know, the heart of Manhattan or downtown San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. And you produce over 200 events and programs per year, as I heard. What are some upcoming events to look forward to?
Well, we actually, tomorrow, we have our holiday breakfast mixer at the Paley Center, and uh-huh. I have a feeling St. Nick will be there, and probably a couple other holiday special characters. But that's a breakfast that we do monthly that'll have for members.
Right.
And it's about 100 people that'll come to that. We celebrate Lunar New Year, so it's not just the Chinese New Year, but we do a Lunar New Year, encompasses all the Asian ethnicities, and we do, for several years now, we've done and it's about 500 people that'll come to this event, and it's at O'Gear Coach, the Rolls-Royce dealer in Beverly Hills, and we have five or six different food stations of different Asian ethnicity foods, and a lot of different beverage stations and entertainment. And it's just a wonderful, it's a great event that people are clamoring to get into, because we have some VIP and I guess the Hollywood scene folks
so
come
not,
in.
Not everyone can come to this.
There are events that we do that is open to everyone of those many events that I had mentioned. These, the two I'm talking about, well, actually, in the third one, the third one is called Innovate, and this is where we're really looking at the future. What's the future bring in? We're really, this year we're looking at IT. The IT world and is just changing almost daily, it seems. Right. And we'll have a panel of speakers that are experts on this and come in and talk, and then we'll have a social gathering afterwards. And that that's open to the public.
It's
and
be
to businesses.
Where?
That'll be at the Wallace on March 11th. Mm-hmm. And that's an evening event. It'll run from roughly 5 to 8. Mm-hmm. And all these are listed on our calendar on our website.
Yeah, exactly. That was my question. Yeah. How people can know about these events, the dates, how they can be part of it.
Yeah,
you have a website, right?
We have a website that is, I would like to think, pretty user-friendly and has all this information available, and certainly our contact information of my salespeople or director of marketing and director of sales.
Is this Chamber of Commerce of Beverly Hills .com or?
It's Beverly Hills Chamber of Commerce
.com. Beverly Hills Chamber of Commerce .com. So they can get more information.
Absolutely. And of these events, some of them are very small. We had one when I left the office to come here. There was about 20 people, 20 people. And it was a very close-knit networking of very specifically of what these individuals had reached out and told us they were looking for. And we put them together and then had a get-together. So it can be anywhere from 20 people up to 600 or 700 people.
Yeah. So, beside getting information and have you as a voice in city for businesses, the members of Chamber of Commerce, they can do networking over there.
Absolutely, yeah.
Which gives them new opportunities, probably.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah, not many businesses this day can just sit back on their laurels and depend on their social media outreach. Social media outreach is vastly important. I don't think it replaces a face-to-face handshake and a get-to-know someone. I think it's a tool that we need and businesses are utilizing, but the face-to-face get-togethers are really important. And time is money. So we make sure that we try to put the right people in the same room and not a bunch of technology people in there with a bunch of restaurant people, because they're not probably going to have a whole lot of in common versus putting two groups together or multiple groups together that they can really get benefit out of that. And that goes back to what I had said earlier, you know, I want people to leave feeling better than when they came. And there has to be value because of our membership is a tiered membership. We have 9 or 10 different levels of joining, and it's fairly inexpensive, up to, you know, $50,000. And we have people that want to do that. But most of our businesses are at the lower tier.
So the membership fee for, is there affordable for small businesses
also?
Yeah,
the initial fee is $475
a year.
Or $495 a year.
Uh-huh.
And that will get you into the organization and certainly get you access to a number of different events, and also this breakfast that I had mentioned tomorrow, it allows everyone who comes to stand up and do their elevator pitch for 30 seconds of,
oh, nice,
I'm such and such, this is my business, this is who I do. And as you're saying that, our staff and ambassadors are passing out information that you want passed out to the people there.
That's nice. How can someone get in touch with the Beverly Hills Chamber of Commerce? Just the website, or is
the website and certainly the phone number, which is 310-248-1000. And you know, we have a number of the people that are in charge. But Michelle Green is my director mm-hmm. of membership. And Alex Anderson, she is the director of marketing. And then we also have a branch that I have a vice president and Blair Schlechter, who's in charge of government affairs and economic development. So businesses that are having issues or, any kind of business problem, they'll come to us and we have a government affairs committee that will vet things through and get it in front of our board so we can stand behind businesses.
Do you have Iranian members?
We do. I have an Iranian CFO who's been a member a coworker for 27 years. So we do. We have, as you know, there's many Iranian population in Beverly Hills. I've been blessed to meet many people and admire the culture.
Is our culture close to your wife's culture?
My wife's Japanese. I think they do have some similarities. Yeah, mm-hmm. You know that people in both countries or both cultures can come over here and be extremely successful. And I think my culture that has been raised here we don't seem to do it as quick as some other folks, but we don't go through the hardships that some other countries do. And I applaud anyone that can come over here and do that.
Yeah, thank you so much. دوستان برای تماس با بیولی هیلز چمبر آف کامرس یا اتاق بازرگانی بیولی هیلز اگر میخواید عضو بشید یا اگر بیزینسی دارید راهنمایی ازشون میخواید که این کار رو براتون انجام میدن به صورت رایگان اگر اول باشون تماس بگیرید میتونید با شماره 310-248-1000 تماس بگیرید و شما رو راهنمایی میکنند اگر بخواید به عضویت در بیاید یا اگر سوالی دارید البته وبسایتشون هم هست beverlyhillschamberofcommerce.com میتونید از اون طریق هم اطلاعات کافی بگیرید در مورد رویدادهایی که دارن در زمانهای و تاریخهای مختلف که بعضی از اونها برای کسانی که عضو اتاق بازرگانی هم نیستند باز هست و میتونید تشریف ببرید استفاده کنید و یک نتورکینگی داشته باشید آشنا بشید با بیزینس های دیگه بیزینس خودتون رو معرفی کنید و بیشتر با کارهای اتاق بازرگانی بیولی هیلز که بزرگترین اتاق بازرگانی آمریکاست آشنا بشید و میتونید این شماره رو یک بار دیگه میگم یادداشت بفرمایید 310-248-1000 Mr. Johnson, you have children yourself, right?
I do. I have a lovely daughter who took after me is in the restaurant business. Uh-huh. And then I have a son who took after me physically and is a trainer and got his master's in kinesiology and sports medicine.
Wow.
And he's getting married in April. And then my daughter has my almost 9-year-old grandson. So I'm very blessed.
Nice. So you're a grandfather. But you don't look like a grandson.
No, I'm as mature as my grandson, so it works out perfect.
Great, thank God. Thank you so much, Mr. Johnson, for your time. And hopefully our listeners who want to start a business or have a business and want to be in touch.
If you have any questions about business, we'll be glad to assist.
I announced the telephone number and the website so they can be in touch with you.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your time. Have a great time.
You too.
Have a great day. دوستان عزیز در اینجا برنامه کارآفرینان به پایان میرسه با آرزوی این که روز و اوقات خوشی داشته باشید. ممنون از فرشاد بلندیان عزیز.
کارآفرینان. ارائه از رادیو ایران 670 AM KIRN.
کارآفرینان.